produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George. Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, we're back. We're talking with Dr. Jonathan Beattie about some of the health tips you might want to consider, you know, if you want to increase your energy and feel better this spring. So first, you mentioned that people really should consider detoxifying, getting rid of some of the toxins in their system, get better sleep, go gluten-free. They're going to notice an increase in their energy levels. What else can people do?
Well, I would say the next one is to really focus on increasing more plant proteins, specifically organic plant protein, mainly because it's one of those sort of often overlooked areas. And the trouble with when people start to increase, you know, their overall protein content is they tend to lower their actual fruit and vegetable intake.
So you're saying that most people that eat more or a lot of meats, for example, or a lot of, you know, dairy-based protein are lowering the amount of fruit and vegetables that they're eating?
In a lot of cases, yeah. Studies have shown that people who do that tend not to eat quite as much of the fruit and vegetables. But the other factor there, and this will sort of lead into the next point, is pH and acidity, where in some cases, excessive animal proteins and certain animal fats lead to the production of metabolic acids. And that sort of makes our body too acidic to function properly, whereas the vegetable proteins will actually help to alkalinize the system, and that lowers our overall acidity. And sort of one of the new tides we're starting to see in pretty much every major chronic degenerative disease, so your arthritis, your Alzheimer's, your cancer, your heart disease, is that people are too acidic. And that acidic state seems to lead to the production of those diseases.
So what is it about plant protein or plant nutrients that really help the body?
Well, as long as you're getting the right blend of plant proteins, and for this reason, I'm a really big fan of sprouted rice protein, which is the complete amino acid profile. What ends up happening is you end up taking in the same amount of protein, but you don't get a lot of the acid-forming ingredients that usually will come along with the protein. So in some cases, you know, excessive amounts of the wrong kinds of fat, you know, trans fats, these kind of things. And so this is where when you're increasing that sort of, you know, like a sprouted rice protein, or even in some cases like a hemp protein, what that does is it provides with it, you know, the right types of omega fats, you know, your anti-inflammatory omega-3 fats in some cases. And because of that, that actually reduces the inflammation and reduces the disease process.
You mentioned sprouted rice protein. What is it about sprouted, and how would they make a rice protein from something that was sprouted?
Sprouting is exactly just like if you were gardening, you want to sprout the seed. And anytime we're dealing with grains, with seeds, I'm a big proponent of sprouting or at least fermenting them. And the reason behind that is that anything that's a seed or a grain, that food has in it something called an anti-nutrient. So the whole reason that the seed can sort of lie dormant for a long time and not degenerate is because it has these special chemicals that stabilize the vitamins, stabilize the minerals, and keep them from being used. But that's the key point, is those anti-nutrients keep them from being used, which even keeps your body from being able to access them. So by sprouting it, the actual process of sprouting turns off those anti-nutrients, thus increasing the actual nutritive value of the food. So for something like rice, you can actually increase the nutrition of it tenfold by sprouting it.
You mentioned hemp. Hemp's fairly popular, it's people like to talk about it. Is it a good protein? Does it taste good?
It is a great protein. I find it tastes absolutely fantastic. I mean, taste is a very subjective thing, but of all the proteins, especially the vegetarian proteins out there, I find that hemp tends to be one of the more well-liked. It kind of has a nice little nutty flavor to it. The interesting thing with hemp is that it's got what we call globular proteins. So where most proteins have to be sort of fully digested in the intestine in order to be absorbed, there's certain proteins in hemp called adestin and albumin. And those ones don't actually have to be digested in order to be absorbed. They can be absorbed whole. So people that have any type of intestinal upsets, people that are having difficulty with digestion and who don't have a great digestive tract, they can actually benefit from hemp more than they can other proteins because it doesn't need to be digested to be absorbed.
Hmm. Okay, so far we've got detoxification, get a better sleep, go gluten-free, eat less meat. What's next?
Next is sort of rolling from the sort of the pH balancing aspect of plant protein. The real big key is to balance out your pH, really getting rid of those metabolic acids in your body. You know, I feel like this is going to be sort of the new way in which medicine is going to head in North America. And mainly because for the last, 10, 15 years, it's been all the rage in Europe and sort of the new medical movement in Europe.
So what do people need to do and what are the benefits of reducing the acid in their diet? Acid-causing foods, I guess.
Yeah, and that's a big part of it is exactly that, is the food. You know, we consume too many sugars, we consume too many carbohydrates that can be very acid-forming. So, for instance, like white sugar or actually in some cases whole wheat flour can be some of the most acid-forming foods, whereas things like sprouted brown rice tend to be much more alkalinizing. So in certain cases, just substituting more alkaline-forming foods for foods that we typically would eat that were more acid-forming is an easy way to balance out our pH. Mm. And the trouble, as I alluded to earlier with the acidic pH, is basically pH drives inflammation. And this leads to that, breakdown of the body tissue, that loss of function by your organs, and ultimately, lack of energy, weight gain, and then disease.
Hmm. So we're balancing our pH. Is there anything else that we need to be doing?
Well, last is balancing out that inflammation. So if you, have been sort of caught with years and years of an acidic diet, let's say you are sensitive to gluten, but you've been eating it for the last 25 years of your life. This is that time where we actually have to sort of, really make that change, really make that drive to get rid of any existing inflammation in the body.
So what are the foods that we need to be eating or what are the supplements that we need to do to get rid of inflammation and to really improve our energy levels?
There's a few that are a big fan of. One is barley grass. Fermented barley grass is a really interesting one. It's got some great research showing it as an anti-inflammatory. Two of my other absolute favorites are chlorella and spirulina.
Tell us a little bit about them, yeah.
Yeah, they're types of algae. So they're basically small green sea plants. And one of the neat things with them is that not only do they pull heavy metals out of the system, but they actually, because they're very alkalinizing, but they've actually been shown in many studies to also break down inflammation. So it could be inflammation in the cardiovascular system, and it could be as simple as inflammation in a joint. So somebody with a little bit of arthritis or knee pain may actually find that the chlorella will help them to lower their knee pain.
Wow. And does it take before people notice a reduction in pain with these plants, chlorella and spirulina?
I usually find it's about 6 to 8 weeks before they'll really start to notice the difference. And that's also because we're getting rid of that metabolic inflammatory load. Hmm. Most people are used to an anti-inflammatory medicine, which is a very sort of short-acting approach to inflammation. I mean, that's great for acute inflammation. Doesn't do as much for the chronic. And, for something like, a knee pain, although ibuprofen may help with the pain more acutely, it actually impairs the healing of the cartilage. So this is where something like a chlorella, although it doesn't manage the pain symptom right away, it actually will help change over the body and help the body to repair that cartilage and repair the actual cause behind the pain.
I've heard some talk about natural enzymes working for reducing pain and inflammation. Have you heard or done much work with that?
I've done plenty of work with that, actually. It's a new area, and mainly because of the sort of safety and efficacy. So where, you know, certain drugs like ASA, which is, you know, commonly known as aspirin, you know, it can actually lead to more deaths in North America every year than HIV and AIDS. So although it's effective for managing pain, there is a risk associated. And what we found with enzymes is they're very effective at blocking pain, very effective at as an anti-inflammatory, but they don't come with the ulcers. They don't come with the stomach bleeding that a lot of the drugs come with. And so because of that, they're actually very, very, very effective at blocking inflammation, you know, preventing clotting, and that relieves that chronic as well as the acute pain. So probably the biggest one is something called Serratia peptase, which is probably the most effective of all the enzymatic anti-inflammatory.
Dr. Beatty, we're almost out of time. Can you just quickly run through what the top tips are, and then tell us where people can get more information if they need to?
Yeah, well, top tips, biggest one is cleanse, cleanse, and cleanse again. You know, you're constantly exposed to toxins, so constantly clean them out. Make sure you get your sleep. Clean up your diet by going gluten-free, adding more alkalinizing foods, you know, choosing plant proteins when applicable or when it's convenient, and then just really working on reducing your inflammation using things like the anti-inflammatory Serratia peptase. And for more information, you know, you can check out prairienaturals.ca. They've got some information on chlorella and Serratia peptase, or my website at tchpp.com.
tchpp.com.
Yes.
Dr. Beatty, thanks for coming on the show. It's been great having you.
Thanks for having me again, Dave. Pleasure.
That's it for this week's show. I want to thank Rich Fair, our producer, and for all his work, and for producers across the country that are really helping make the show available to you. Thank you for listening, and stay tuned after this for health happenings in your community.